read together from Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. To him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and of the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and compassion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, which was in the isle of that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks, which thou sawest, are the seven churches. Pray that it would have been a prayer of faith that we had as we called out to the Lord and recognize how great he is and just how fallible and how needy we are and how he blesses us and how he gives unto us of so much, far more than what we can understand and know. And I often marvel that we know how great God is. We know that. We understand how great he is. And yet we also have an understanding that our understanding is really limited as to how great God is. And so though our understanding is that he is great, we also know that he's greater than what we can fully understand of how great he is. And so as we gather here together today in this God's house, and as we are assembled here together, and as we're in expectation to hear a message of God's word, not man's word, God's word, that we might have that thought in our mind that we are serving a God who is far greater than anything on this earth. That we love him so, and that we have this opportunity to be here together though we utter prayers by our bedside or wherever it might be, that we utter prayers often by ourselves and we do our own Bible reading and we do our own meditation and we also reflect upon how God has worked in our lives individually. But here we come together as a church, as a body of believers in his sanctuary and looking at God's word and seeing how is it that he would have us to be together as a church likewise, not only individually, not only as a family unit, but together as a church. And what is it that he would have for us? This book is called the Revelations. What that means is his divine revelation to each and every one of us, his message to the church. This is what God would have us to know. This is what the Lord would have for us to be instructed by, is this message that he would have for us. He didn't leave us without his word. He gave unto us his word. And throughout this book, we can read of how the angel of God, or Jesus Christ, has spoken unto John, the apostle, to write these things, that we, as a body of believers together in this place at this time, would also know what God's will is, that we might also be a part of that divine revelation that he would have for us, the message of the Lord to the church. And so this is the revelation of Jesus Christ as this book begins. This is his message to each and every one of us. It comes from God, it says, which God gave to him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. God gave it to us, gave it to his servants, such as the Apostle John, that he might write those things which must shortly come to pass, as it's written here. And to his servants, that we are his. We are those who are busy and occupying until he comes, doing those things which he would have us to do. He did signify it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. The disciples, the apostles, had a beautiful opportunity and were selected beautifully, that they might be ones who would witness with their eyes the miracles of Jesus Christ, that they would see the things that he had done, that they would see that this is the proof that he is the Son of God, that he is Messiah, that he is God's love to the world. They were witnesses to that. They saw his miracles. They heard his words. And perhaps the Apostle John more than any of the others, among those Peter and James as well, being in this inner circle. And so all these things that John saw and witnessed of Jesus Christ that he did while he was here upon this earth, John wrote of those things. He wrote a gospel. He wrote three epistles. And now by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and through this revelation of Jesus Christ, that he also wrote this book called the Revelations. And so he has witnessed to many things. And he testifies. He had this testimony of Jesus Christ and all the things that he saw. And he wrote of these things. He was a witness to them. And then when the time came that Jesus was crucified and then resurrected and then ascended back to his Father, that the church began. And John was integral part of that beginning of the church. And when Peter and John were speaking of the things which they were testifying of and being witnesses to as the Holy Spirit was leading them, as Jesus prophesied would happen, they were doing these things and they were speaking to the people there in Jerusalem of the things of Jesus Christ. They were bearing witness and testimony of Jesus Christ. And as they did this, there were those that didn't like what John was doing with Peter as they were witnessing of Jesus Christ, as they were testifying of Jesus Christ. And they persecuted them. But Peter and John said to those, we cannot but speak the things which we have heard and seen of Jesus Christ. They felt it very incumbent upon themselves to speak forth the words of Jesus Christ, to bring forth that gospel, to be a witness and a testimony of those things which he did. And so they were persuaded in their hearts, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We have to do this. And so that's what he's writing here. that he bore record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things that he saw. Then he says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." The time is at hand. Blessed are we when we hear. Blessed are we when we read. And blessed are we when we keep these things that are written here in the book of the Word of Life. We are blessed. We are blessed far more than any blessings that we can receive from earthly treasures, far more than anything that this world would have to offer. We are most richly blessed when we read and when we keep these things that are written here in this book, these things that are written, which Jesus had told John to write. We are blessed. And so, perhaps in the coming days, we can look at this book and we can read in the chapters following, all the way through chapter 22, and know that as we are reading them, we are understanding more and more of what that message is, what that divine disclosure is that Jesus would have for his church, what that message to the church is. And that there would be a blessing in that, that as we read it, as we hear it, and as we keep it, that we might be blessed in our lives. For the time is at hand, and these things must shortly come to pass. It says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are upon the throne, and from Jesus Christ. This was John's desire, that all those who would read of this book might be blessed, and that blessing would be in part with the grace and this peace that can come from the Trinity, from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is the blessings that we have, that God wants to impart upon us lavishly, to give us in an abundant measure. He wants to give us these blessings of grace and peace. And don't we need these things each and every day? Grace in our lives, grace to be true. We've prayed together that we're not perfect. We've made some mistakes, and we need grace. We need God's favor upon us when we don't deserve his grace and his favor upon us. And so we are in need of his grace, and we are in need of his peace as well, because we go through things, and we hear disrupting things, and things that are very difficult to bear in life. And perhaps some of those things impact us directly, and have severe consequences on us. And we need God's peace in that time. We need his grace. We need his peace. Peace is only Jesus Christ can give, not as the world gives. We need his peace. And so that, just as it was John's desire, the Apostle John's desire, for each and every one, for these churches, these seven churches that were specifically named, and throughout all the churches, throughout all ages, that it would be likewise our desire that God's grace and his peace would be for each and every one of us as well, that we would share together in the peace of God and in his grace. That should come from our hearts continuously, one for another. Speaks here of Jesus Christ, who loved us, and he washed us from our sins in his own blood. This is the risen God that we serve, the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved us so much. He loved us more than he loved himself, willing to die upon a cross for each and every one of us, and his blood being shed there upon Calvary's Hill, knowing that it was to be that supreme sacrifice for all mankind throughout all ages, that whosoever would believe in him might be redeemed and might be brought back to the Father and would come to know him. And so, because of all the things that Jesus Christ has done, John can't but simply say, glory and dominion be unto him. And that should come from our hearts continuously, that just glory and dominion, he is so worthy of our praise, and we desire to give him that throughout our lives, whatever circumstances may come, and whatever it might be that we would have to endure, that we would give him that glory and dominion that is due unto him. John knows what's to happen, and he's saying that these things must shortly come to pass. The time is at hand. It says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." How is it that every eye shall see him when he comes? How is that to happen? If the earth is round, how is it to happen that every eye would see him when he comes? We don't know how that's going to be. And neither is it important that we know how that's to be. But the Bible says it. And so we believe it. That every eye shall see him when he comes. And he's going to come in power and great glory. And the Bible says that over and over as it speaks of the second coming of Jesus Christ, that he's going to come in power and great glory. And we read of his description of what he looks like with white hair and a white face and burning eyes and a two-edged sword coming from his mouth and in a robe and brass feet and the glory and the power that he will come in with his saints and with the angels and in the glory of his Father. We will behold it. Every eye shall see it. The Bible records that. And there is coming a time when that will come, and time will be no more as we know it. And so Jesus Christ even speaks of that as the time would come when he would return here to this earth. And he tells them, "I am coming again." And he came as a Savior the first time. He came to die for all mankind. He came in great love. And it is up to us whether we will believe Jesus Christ as and to who he is. Jesus Christ says in the Gospel of Mark, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and with his holy angels." If we are to be ashamed, if any man is to be ashamed of Jesus Christ, In this society that we live in that's adulterous and sinful, if we are to be ashamed of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ then comes with power and great glory with his angels, that Jesus Christ will be ashamed of us as well, of that person. And so we are not to be ashamed. And the Apostle Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." We know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is to our salvation. And we know that God is greater than all. Jesus Christ is great. And we serve a God that no man and no system put in place can refute God or can be greater than him. And so we worship him without shame, without fear. We proclaim his name, and we laud him for who he is. If we go back to the previous book of Jude, it says here the reason why Jesus Christ is coming. It says here, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints," and this is the purpose, "to execute judgment upon all." That's the purpose of Jesus Christ's second coming. And we read that in other places of Scripture, not only here in Jude. To convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." This is why Jesus Christ is coming back. To execute judgment upon those who would not believe in him. He gave a space of many, many centuries of us to believe on him and to come to know him and to believe that what Revelation says is true, what the Bible says is true. John writes in his epistle, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God," the sons and the daughters of God. That's who we are now as we believe on him and we magnify him and worship him for who he is. "And yet it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, when he comes in great glory, that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Every eye shall see him. And that when we see Jesus, those of us who believe, we will be like him. the Bible says. And so this is the message to the church. This is the divine disclosure that when Jesus Christ comes, we don't know how that's going to be at this time, but we know we are his sons and daughters. But when he comes, we shall see him, for we shall be like him. And so what does Jesus Christ want us to do until that time? In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, where it speaks of the second coming of Jesus Christ, he says, "Be ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Be ready. That's what Jesus Christ wants for each and every one of us. That we as a church, this is the message to the church, is that we would be ready. And we will speak of things that are written here in this chapter in a little bit, of those things specifically, what we can do to be ready. Jesus also says to occupy until he comes. To be the servants that he would have us to be, as John was his servant here, and doing what the Lord would have him to do. That we would occupy, that we would be busy about the Lord's work and building his kingdom until the time of his return. And so he says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." This is who we serve. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a description of him, that he is from everlasting to everlasting. He knows neither beginning nor end, as our finite minds only seem to know, is beginnings and ends. But he doesn't have a beginning and he doesn't have an end. He is from everlasting to everlasting, and he is the Almighty. This is the Godhead that we serve. Not gold, not other idols, not ourselves. We serve him. We serve him, and we glorify him. There's some verses here in chapter 5 of Revelation. That there was a voice of a great, great multitude. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. The voice of such a large number. We've heard large choirs before or large groups singing. It's beautiful and it's very powerful. This is 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So it's with a great voice. And they're saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and forever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and forever. This is the Godhead we serve. This is Jesus Christ whom we serve. And those of us who've heard Handel's Messiah can testify that that's such a powerful song when he speaks of "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And we glorify him with this great multitude. And we lift up his name. Shall we fear what men shall do unto us? We serve such a great God. Shall we fear what men shall do unto us? Shall we fear those who can kill the body? And that's it. This is the message to the church. This is the divine disclosure. This is the revelation. John speaks here, says, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." That as the Apostle Paul was testifying over and over of Jesus Christ, that he was the Messiah, that he saw the transfiguration, that he saw him raise those that were dead to life again, that he heard his message. John was speaking these things, and finally the people banished him to this little island called Patmos. And he was here. And he was suffering some tribulation. Yet the Lord was with him, and yet the Lord spoke to him. Shall not the Lord speak to us as well? Shall not the Lord be with us as well in our hour of tribulation that we might have as well? The Apostle John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I just would reflect on his life and think that he was there when Jesus spoke the Sermon on the Mount. He was there when he heard Jesus speak all these words. He was there for those 3 years as Jesus spoke. He heard the voice of Jesus. He heard that voice often. He was very familiar with the voice of Jesus Christ. But now, Jesus Christ is glorified. He's glorified, and he hears the same voice, but yet a glorified voice. And as he hears this voice, he turns about and turns to see there Jesus Christ in his glorified state. And it was a great voice as of a trumpet. And he says, I am Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. The message of Jesus Christ is, write these things in a book. I am going to tell you some things. I am going to show you some things. Write them in a book. Write them down. And in verse number 19, we read also, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. There's going to be some things coming. Write them. And so this was what John was to do, was to write these things. And we have this written word then for us, that we would understand what his divine disclosure is for each and every one of us and what his message is to the church. He was to write these things. But yet, if we read through Revelation, we see that there are some things that John was not to write. The Bible says here in Revelation that there was some seven thunderings, and it was great, and John was getting ready to write those things which he heard in those seven thunders. And Jesus Christ said, no, don't write those things. That was not for us to know. And so there are things for us not to know at this time, but there are things for us to know. There is a message that Jesus Christ has for each and every one of us. And they are written here, and it is sufficient for our salvation and for us to understand him. And so it speaks here of the description of Jesus Christ and who he was. And after the Apostle John sees this, he says, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. This is what Jesus Christ told John. Fear not. And neither are we to fear. Neither are we to have any trepidation as what the days ahead might lie. We are not to fear, but we are to have this faith in him. We are to occupy until he comes. We are to be ready until that time comes because we serve a great God. And so let's read some of these things that are written here in Revelation as to what it is that this message to the church would be, that we would understand it, and that we might be able to draw near unto him. And so he speaks here to seven churches, and this message is likewise to us as well, no different. We are to know these things and to understand these things. And so one of the first things he speaks here is that don't lose your first love. That's the message to the church. That's the divine disclosure. Don't lose your first love. When we first come to know Jesus Christ, and we know the depth of his saving power and of his grace and the hope that we can have, that we are no longer condemned to hell, but that we now have a hope that we can be with him and have that everlasting life, that we loved him so. Don't lose that first love. That's the message to the church. There may be some difficult times ahead of us. God knows. But Jesus Christ's message for us at those times is, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. And so that might be the case. Maybe, perhaps not. We don't know. God knows. But if we are We are not to fear none of those things which we will have to suffer. God is with us. The Almighty is with us. His strength and his power is there. We don't have to fear him that can simply kill the body and that's it. So the message is, fear not. None of those things which shall come unto you. He also says, I know thy works, for thou dwellest even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. We hold fast the name of Jesus Christ because we know that the name of Jesus Christ is above all names. We know that through him is salvation. We know that he is the conqueror of death. We read that in the first chapter, that he has the keys of hell and death. He's the conqueror of death. This is him who we worship and we glorify him. And so we hold fast his name. We hold to nothing else. Nothing else in our lives to be more precious to us than the name of Jesus Christ. And so that's his message to us, that we hold fast my name, as Jesus Christ says, and has not denied my faith. And then again, we are to occupy until he comes. We are to be ready, because he's going to come in an hour that we think not. And so what are we to be doing? We are to be doing his works. And so Jesus Christ says, I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience. And this is how we are to walk while we are here and waiting for his second coming. That we would have charity one for another. That desire for peace and for grace for each and every one of us would be strong and great and evident. That we would have that charity. That we would serve. Serve as the Lord gives. He is able to give unto us talents. And he does give unto us talents. And the Bible says to exercise those talents. Use them and to his glory. And to his honor. And have faith. And have patience. Have patience. Wait on the Lord. We live in an interesting time. We have it so good. Like Christians have probably never known such affluence and wealth as we experience today. Never has the stock market been higher. The real estate values of our time are the highest they've ever been. But Jesus is saying, don't put your faith or your trust or your treasures in these things. This is the message to the church. This is his divine disclosure. Don't put your treasures in here. Have spiritual treasures. And so he says here, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich. That we would be rich in these spiritual treasures which Jesus Christ can give, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and that thine eyes, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. That we would have spiritual vision, that we would recognize the things that are eternal, and that we would recognize what Satan is doing, and that we are not ignorant of his devices, and that we would be walking in this charity, and in this faith, and in this service that he has called us into. Again, there may be some hard times, we don't know. But here's something that the message to the church is. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. This is where our patience and our faith lies, that though there may be some that would take our life or lead us into captivity, they will go into eternal captivity, eternal damnation, and we just have to wait and have patience on the Lord and have faith in him. You know, in Psalms it speaks of seeing the evil making themselves a very established and spreading themselves out like a green bay tree, where it's they're so prevalent, they're so influential throughout all society that it seems that there's no way to overcome this. But with God, that's a small thing. He will bring them to judgment. And then the next verse in that Psalm 37, it says that God destroyed them, and there's no evidence of them at all. And so this is the patience and the faith of the saints, that we look to him. Here's another message to the church, the divine disclosure of the Lord. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. If any is to partake of the mark of the beast, they shall drink of the wrath of God, which is poured upon them with a mixture of cup of his indignation, and the smoke of their torment ascending up forever and forever, and they shall have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." This is the message to the church. Let's not fear what shall be, or the mark of the beast, or how all that shall be. Let's have that patience and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He who is all powerful, he who is from everlasting to everlasting, the Almighty. The Bible speaks of this book specifically of Babylon, a great society which is evil, and how influential it is and pervasive it is. But the Lord judges them. And it says that, "Therefore shall her plagues," Babylon's plagues, "come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." There may be a time of trial. There may be a time of tribulation. It may be some very, very difficult times, but the Lord God will judge, and we commit that to him. "He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these things are true and faithful." John was to write this. This is true and this is faithful. "Behold," says the Almighty, "I make all things new." All that evil, all of those, the kingdom of this earth will all be gone. And he says, "Behold, I make all things new." And we rejoice in that. I'd like to close with some of the things that are written here in Revelation chapter 22, the last book of the Bible. Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy of this book." Blessed are we when we keep these things. He comes quickly. These things must shortly come to pass. We are occupying. We are ready until he comes. And he says again, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is the everlasting God. He is the Almighty." This is who we serve. And we are to have faith, and we are to have patience, and we are to trust in him. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things unto the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." This is Jesus Christ who we serve. And so John closes this book by saying, "And he which testifies of these things saith, Surely I come quickly." In the scope of eternal life, he is coming quickly. He is coming quickly. These are his words, and they are true. And he says, Amen. And so our response is, as John the Apostle's response was, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." That's our desire for those of us who are saved. Come. I'm ready. Come. And so he closes by saying, "The grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen."